Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said, now we did talk about this today for about 15 or 20 minutes, we didn't get much time on it unfortunately, but that he's made a decision on the calling of a general election, but he won't make it public yet because, as I mentioned in our little promo that we put up on Twitter, you are the peasants, you are the citizens, you don't deserve to know. You're on a need-to-know basis. But he knows. This is what we get from Irish government at the moment. We're citizens and we're on a need-to-know basis. Speculation, of course, has mounted in recent days that February will be on the cards for an election. There's a guess there, it could be Valentine's Day, but you never know. Now, he said, I've always said that it should only happen when the time is right for the country. And it's been my view for a long time now that the right time would be the summer of 2020. I think he's trying to stall, but however. But I have to acknowledge that the circumstances have changed, said Varadkar. Now, look, he stalled because of Brexit. He's been stalling for the last 6 months for all different reasons. The stalling has to stop. So he said, I've made a decision, but there is some unfinished business to do, which I want to get done. Could you not have got it done in the last 3 years, Leo? While you've been there, or while Enda was there for the last 5 or 6 years, because you'd not have got it done. Now, well. Asked directly by RTE's Dave McCullough, you have made the decision, but you're not going to tell us. The Taoiseach answered, that's correct. See, this is what you're dealing with. This is the disconnection from the people that you're dealing with. I'm big balls. I've made a decision about the election. You're going to have to wait, because I'm not telling you what it is yet. That's the kind of behaviour we're getting used to. And Simon Harris tonight tweeting, giving out to other politicians as well. You know, whining like a 21-year-old or an 18-year-old on Twitter, like a troll against other politicians, and the campaign hasn't even started. It's childishness is what it is. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I want to know who you're going to vote for. Fine Gael? Fianna Fáil? Are you happy with a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil government? Sinn Féin? Labour? Antua? The National Party, the Irish Freedom Party, the Independents, the Social Democrats, People Before Profit. There's probably loads more that I haven't mentioned. And then you have all the independents as well. Who will you be voting for? And why? Because when they get to your doorstep, you know, they'll be greeted by you on a cold winter's night. And that's your opportunity to ask them a question. Now, invariably, they'll lie to you. Or they'll tell you untruths or mislead you to get your vote. But you've got to decide whether you believe them or not. Because that's a politician's too. And on that basis, by the way, just to give you an example. I'm a talk show host. If I advertised that I was going to come on the air and do a show all about cooking. Oh, mind you, I did cook an orange chicken the other night. It was gorgeous. But anyway, I was going to do a show all about cooking, right? And I didn't. And I come on and did a show about politics. I'd be misleading you, wouldn't I? Well, on that note, I'm looking at an email here from Simon Harris. And it's to a pro-life campaign. And it's dated the February the 22nd, 2011, before the last election, of course. And it says, Dear Pro-Life Campaign, I'm contesting the general election in Wicklow for Fine Gael. I'm happy and proud to assure you that I am pro-life. In response to your two direct questions, because they must have asked some questions, yes, if elected to the Dáil, I will oppose any legislation to introduce abortion into Ireland. Yes, he said to the second question, I will support legislation that protects the human embryo from deliberate destruction. Oh, sorry about that. I was reading off my phone. And I will oppose any legislation which does not. Please be assured of my support. I need number one votes on Friday so I can be in a position to support these positions in Dáil Éireann. Now, maybe there's two arguments here. A, he told a lie. Or B, he changed his views as time went on, which, yes, people can change their views. People's views, my views over the last 8 years on certain things have moved slightly, shifted slightly. Not that greatly, I'll be honest with you, but they've shifted slightly. But it's clear his views have shifted greatly in the fact that he's gone from being conservative to being a complete and utter liberal who championed abortion legislation in this country. I can give you loads of other examples of other politicians, not just Fine Gael, who have done similar things. Micheál Martin did the same thing, really, technically, with Fianna Fáil, because they, of course, supported the abortion legislation and the abortion referendum, yet they themselves would have been opposed to it going back 10 or 15 years ago. So parties change. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with people changing their minds. Now, if they lie, which allegedly politicians do on a regular basis, they shouldn't be elected or they should have to resign. But also, I believe if a politician changes their views morally or societally in any of those kind of on any of those positions, things like abortion, that would be, I suppose, major debates in the country, they should resign. And I'm not saying in a bad way. They should step down and get re-elected again on their new policies and their new views. Because remember, they're there to represent you. So if you vote for, you know, Mick O'Rourke, I wonder is there a Mick O'Rourke running? But if you vote for Mick O'Rourke and Mick tells you he's pro-life and Mick tells you that he's Catholic and Mick tells you that he's against drugs and all of a sudden you vote for him and 3 years later he's bringing in legislation to legalise drugs, legalise abortion and he's not a Catholic anymore, he's an atheist. Well, you're a bit disappointed because he was meant to be there to represent you. So he should step down. That's just my view on it. I believe that politicians should not be allowed to mislead the general public. The same way as if this show changed to a gardening show, I wouldn't expect you to listen anymore. Unless you're interested in gardening. So let me know what you think. Who are you going to vote for and why? So which of the issues? I want you to text in who you're going to vote for and the issue that affects you the most. So some of the issues, I suppose, that we mentioned already. Healthcare, housing, social welfare, taxation, climate change, immigration. That's healthcare, housing, social welfare, taxation, climate change, immigration. They will be the main issues. There may be other ones that you can think of. Somebody mentioned transport today. All sorts of other things as well. So who are you going to vote for and why are you voting for them? Let me know and you can text us now at WhatsApp at 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let's go to Mick. Mick, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing,
Mick? How you doing?
I thought your name was Mick Healthcare because it says on my screen, Mick Healthcare.
No, as far as I'm concerned, the healthcare is in shambles, okay? And
yeah.
We shouldn't be building a children's hospital in St. James. We should have been building that up at the Ring Road, the M50.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with you there.
Because I live in that direction, and I can tell you, just to get up around down there, even in the evening time, it's an hour late, you know, to get in and out.
Yeah.
So how's ambulance going to get in here? Anyway, neither here nor there, you ask me who I'm going to vote for, I wouldn't vote for any of them. Absolutely none of them.
See, someone said this to me today, they're going to spoil their vote.
But I'd rather spoil it.
Yeah, but by spoiling it, you're essentially giving it to the incumbent, because then you're not voting for anybody to oppose them.
There is no one to oppose them. What we should be doing, right, is, in my opinion, is to take to the streets and get these fuckers out completely.
Okay, fair enough. Right? And I'm not going to disagree with you. But who are the new effers that you're going to put in instead?
Well,
somebody has to run the country.
Dropped out from college as a health minister. A minister for transport, your man Shane Ross, when he was minister for transport, doesn't even drive. A minister for children who's a lesbian. Come on off it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a minister for children being a lesbian. But the fact that she has... But the fact that she has no children, yes, I wouldn't completely disagree with you.
I'm sorry.
That maybe she hasn't got her eye on the ball. But that's beside the point. But go on, yeah.
The whole lot. And then you have the criminals who are being protected, all right, by the same governments. And yet, the victim, there's nothing about the victim. You know? So, as far as I'm concerned, we should have... serious things on the prison service.
And see, I'm not disagreeing with you, right?
Yeah.
And everybody feels the same way. Everybody feels that, sure, look, they're all as bad as each other, right?
Yeah.
But in saying that, that's all we have.
Yeah, well, we should be taken to the streets and getting rid of them.
And I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's easy to say get rid of them. So who's going to run the country?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Is there not one politician that you trust, Mick?
No, none of them. Not one.
Is it not an independent or a local or somebody that you can say to yourself, he seems like a decent lad or a decent woman?
Because a while ago, a couple of years ago, I had this independent, I'm not going to mention his name.
Yeah, please don't.
He swore he was going to do this and he was going to do that. The street where I was born and reared in the Liberties, just not too far from James Street there, was completely, he swore he was going to redevelop it in the sense he was going to do up the places for the old folks there and the whole lot. Instead, he done them up all right. He bulldozed them to the ground, all right, and sped all the old folks all around the place. So all the supports of friends and everything, you know, most of them.
I have an auntie lives up. My mother was born up there, actually. I have an auntie still lives up there in Mary Aikenhead Flats.
Yeah, well, you know Bow Lane West?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I was born and reared there.
Yeah. Yeah,
the great old street it was years ago.
My ma used to tell me she used to be with me dad at the back of the pipes.
Yep, I went to school in St. James's School.
Yeah.
CBS.
How old are you?
62. I'll be 63 this May.
Ah, you'd be a young, bit younger than my parents. And my parents were from up around them. My dad was from Rialto, and my mum was from James Street Flats.
But doesn't...
Yeah. Is it, but I don't know if it's called James Street Flats or Mary Aikenhead Flats. I think it's the same thing, isn't it?
Mary Aikenhead Flats, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't... Everyone thought the flats was bad and this, that, and the other. It's not about that at all. It's not where you came from. It's where you... not where you lived, it's how you lived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was decent people there.
Ah, there was, yeah, said, absolutely.
That politician destroyed everything. You know?
Right. So you you just don't trust them anymore?
I wouldn't vote for none of them. I wouldn't give them the time of day. I ran them from the door the last time.
Do you expect them to lie to you?
Well, that's all they've ever done. You know? I just wouldn't vote for them. We should be building...
But I find it sad that there's nobody that you can think of that you will give a vote to.
No, they're all gangsters. Every one of them.
They're not all gangsters, mate.
Double jobbing.
So, yeah, but hang on with the guy. They're not all... I mean, some of them are absolutely useless. There's no denying that. There are one or two that work hard.
Yeah, robbing people.
Well, no, I can think of one or two. I mean, I'm not going to start mentioning politicians. But there are one or two that work hard. Right, okay, fair. Well, no, that's your opinion and you're entitled to it.
Yep.
And what are the main issues, do you believe, that are affecting this country at the moment? I mentioned you know, healthcare, housing, social welfare, taxation, immigration, climate change.
Right, homeless in this country is a disgrace. We're bringing in people from refugees and bringing them in and putting them into places, and yet we can't look after our own. We should be building council houses to get the landlords to drop their rents.
So the two issues for you are housing and immigration rolled into one, so to speak.
And I'm an ex-military man. I'm 14 years in the service. And I do believe, honestly, we should have national service. And we should pay our soldiers.
Okay. Right? Okay. Yeah, well, we should pay them properly, that's for sure.
Yeah. And the guys who are in the likes of these young offenders institutions, they should be outside doing hard labour to make sure they don't come back in again. Without respect, you've nothing.
Okay, hang on, Mick, for a second. You have a lot going on there, and I'm not going to disagree with everything you said. A lot of what you said makes perfect sense to me. But keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Stay there, Mick. Let me go to Niamh as well. Niamh, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Niamh?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Nice to talk to you in the evening, Niamh. I've never spoken to you before.
I'm up late.
You're up late tonight, aren't you, guys? You should be in bed.
I know.
So, Niamh, who are you voting for?
Do you know, it's very easy to agree with... your previous caller, I didn't get his name, sorry.
Mick.
It's very easy to agree.
Yeah, he's angry, I understand that.
I think we're all angry. And if you're not angry, you need to get angry. You know, because the fact of the matter is, when they come to your door, they'll say mass. You know, they will tell you whatever you want to hear. Now, there is, in fairness, there's one guy down here, I won't mention, are we allowed to mention names? No.
Yeah, mention his name if you want to. As long as you want to say something nice, you just can't mention names and say horrible things.
No. Well, there's two. There's Malcolm Byrne and Michael Darcy.
Right, okay.
Now, when I moved into Gorey, we had awful problems getting my young lad into school because they're awful.
Okay.
And he was very helpful.
Okay, so, well, that's good. They're helpful on a local level. That's what it's all about, isn't
well,
it?
Well, you see, this is the point I have. I know party-wise, I wouldn't agree with a lot of their politics, but on a local level, he is good. And this is sort of the... hard thing to weigh up in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really agree with the party politics, but I do think he is a good...
As an individual?
...local person. Decent man. And that's the difficulty, because you don't necessarily want to vote for the party, but yes, as a person.
And by giving him a vote, of course, you are voting for the party.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's a tough one to kind of get into your head as to, you know, do you go against what you really believe, which is that you don't like the party. But yes, you know that he's doing good work in the locality.
Right, okay.
Now, the problem I would have down here is education. A big problem with education. There's, you know, it's a mess.
Right, okay. So there's not enough schools, is what you're saying?
Well, we've got five, nearly six. They're building another one. Six primary schools with two classes in each year. But we've got two secondary schools. The numbers don't add.
No.
You can't square a circle.
No, not unless half the kids are going to abandon secondary school.
Exactly. Now, they keep saying, oh, we're going to try and get you, it's easy, it's an election year, we're going to try and get you another secondary school, but sure, when? You know, how long is a piece of string?
Yeah, we should be moving quicker, because the thing about it is the population of the country has almost doubled in the last 30 years. So, you know, we should have twice the amount of schools, we should have twice the amount of hospitals, we should have twice the amount of everything, and we don't.
That's it.
Or anywhere close to it.
I'm not normally one that comes out with the whole, you know, we need to put our own first. I do like to think I'm fairly, I have empathy for everybody. But on this particular occasion, it is difficult because we are taking in so many people and they do need to be educated. So we're adding more people to a list that's already crammed, and that's just a problem. You know, the healthcare is a problem. I mean, nobody in this country should have to not bring their child to a doctor because they can't afford it. We should, no child in this country should be paying to see a doctor.
And nobody should have to avoid going to A&E because they think they're going to be there for 16 hours.
Exactly. You know, and you know, look, I wouldn't even mind waiting 16 hours if I thought I was going to get seen and get proper treatment. But at the end of the day, you do hear people saying that they're coming out and they're coming out worse than they went in. Mm-hmm. And that's not the doctor's fault and not the nurse's fault.
No, it's because you're sitting there in a pack of viruses for 16 hours.
Well, that's it. And it's the people walking around, as you're very fond of saying, with the briefcases in their hand.
Mm. The folder holders.
The folder holders. We're pushing papers from one side of the desk to the other and getting nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, a big shake-up needs to be done, but it won't happen. But they'll tell you it will.
I mean, this is the problem. And you know, I know Mick he's angry, you know, and I can absolutely understand his anger. I kind of feel the same way as most people do. We feel like we're kind of frustrated with the political system at the moment. I mean, Mick, what do you think of people who will give Fianna Fáil a vote now, even though, of course, Fianna Fáil were responsible for decimating the country financially? Now, don't get me wrong, it was a global decline, but they were in power during that financial decimation, during Bertie Ahern's, reign. What do you think of people who are now giving them a vote?
I think they're mad. I wouldn't give them any.
Do you think it's like national amnesia?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is a different Fianna Fáil, according to Micheál Martin.
Yeah, I'll put it to you that way, right? In Hong Kong, the people have took to the streets. Okay, in France they took to the streets.
Hey, well, I don't want to see what's happening in Hong Kong happen here either. You know,
but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
if we took to the streets and got rid of these and got people in that knew how to do it and straighten out the health service and get rid of all these, as the lady said, the pen pushers and the file. Get rid of them and get our nurses and our doctors back here. Mm. That's what we need, and we need proper people in.
What Mick said is a great soundbite. You know, get out on the streets, get them all out, and we need new blood in there. And I completely agree with him, and so does everybody listen. But I come back to the question, who are these new blood? Who are these new people going to be? There's nothing stopping anybody going into politics.
Yeah. No, there isn't. And the problem is that, you know, you can get people out onto the streets, but are they going to listen? You know, like, the problem is that they're making these decisions without consulting us. And at the end of the day, they are there because we put them there. Well, Leo Varadkar isn't, but they're supposed to be there because we put them there. They're supposed to be working for us, not for themselves. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, my one question, if any of them knock at my door, is, you know, fine, I get that you do a lot for a lot of people, but what are you going to do for the middle income? You know, the new poor. People like us that struggle to pay for absolutely everything with no help. You promised us you'd take away the USC. Still there.
Well, I mean, yes, and Kenny promised that 7 years ago. Yeah.
What are they going to do for this? But
look at the disrespect they have for the general public. I mean, when you hear that interview with David McCullough and RTÉ, and sorry I don't have the clip of it here, but he said basically to the Taoiseach, to Leo Varadkar, you've made the decision, but you're not going to tell us. And the Taoiseach said, yeah, that's correct. I mean, there's the complete disrespect they have for the general public. In other words, I know when the election is, but I'm not telling you yet.
But that man needs to remember something. He needs to remember that he works for us, that he doesn't get to say things like that. That he doesn't get to turn around and say,
well, he only barely
scraped
in Castleknock the last time, anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't get to turn around and say, you know what, you plebs don't really understand what's going on, so I'm keeping it to myself because I'm much more intelligent than the lot of you.
That's kind of what it comes across as, yeah.
Yeah, he came across as arrogant.
And I want to go and see Kylie this weekend as well, you know what I mean, or something silly like that.
Oh, well, good for him. You know, and that's brilliant. And what he does in his spare time is completely his own business, fair enough. You know what, but when he is representing us, he doesn't get to hide things. I mean,
do you think Leo Varadkar over the last 3 years has been a good Taoiseach? I mean, a lot of people don't like him. They think he's too focused on his own image and, you know, and he's self-serving.
And it sucks.
and he sucks. Do you think he's been a good Taoiseach?
No, I think he's been like a drink of water. I think he's been very...
Just nothing.
He's easy. He's like vanilla. There's nothing... You can't really say anything bad about him, but you can't say anything good about him because he's done absolutely nothing. You get the impression that he wouldn't stand up for you in a fight. That's the impression I get from him, that if our backs were against the wall, he'd go with the person that was most serving to him. Not necessarily best for the country.
Go ahead, Mick.
That guy, I have no time for him. I loathe him. I hate him.
Hate's a very strong word, in fairness.
I'm telling you straight, that's the way I feel.
Well, you hate what he represents. I mean, you don't know him as an individual.
I hate everything about him. Right? Now, he signed this country up to the European Army. Okay? But yet he won't pay our own soldiers. Now, I'm an ex-soldier from Irish Army, British Army, and the French Foreign Legion. Anyway, he signed it in. All right? And we don't give them the proper wages. Nothing. We're down to less than 6,000 men or something. We've naval ships in Cork lying idle because we can't get the crews. What sort of a joke is that? You know, end of story. We need rid of these scum vermin.
So all politicians are scum and vermin. I'm with you, Mick, a lot of the way, but I can't agree that they're all scum and vermin. I think some of them are actually good. I think some of them work hard for the people. I do believe they're restricted in what they can do by those above them. But I do believe some are actually trying. I believe a lot of them are... If you want to use the word scum and vermin, I would just use useless. But stay there for a second, please. Let me go to Seamus. Seamus, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Seamus?
How are you doing, though?
Seamus, who will you be voting for and why?
I'm going to go for Fianna Fáil and an independent. And I can give you a number of reasons as to why you should not vote for Fianna Gael. Well, just going back to Fianna Fáil, it's a new Fianna Fáil, I believe. You know, they're all corrupt at some level, okay? However, at the personal level, if you look at the profile of Micheál Martin, he suffered as well at the personal level. There's got to be some sort of character that, you know, can bring back the word leadership to the country.
A lot of Fianna Fáil voters feel betrayed by Fianna Fáil because they went from being a conservative party to quite liberal.
They did. You know, they're in bed at the moment with Fine Gael, as we all know. However, I'll give you a number of reasons as to why you shouldn't vote for the current regime, which is Fine Gael. Number one, Leo Varadkar. I'll just give you 6 points right
okay,
there.
Just, I want you to be conscious of what you say on a personal level about him. All right?
This is
keep
fact.
It political, okay?
I'll keep it political and fact, okay? Factual. He did state to the country only a couple of years back, as you know, and I repeat, I said this before, you know, leave the country, as his message to young people, and young Irish people in this country, leave the country, move in with your parents, or ask them for inheritance.
That's right.
Then, only a couple of years back, or I think, sorry, about a year ago thereabouts, he endorsed 10% pay rises for TDs and members of government. Only recently as well, just another point.
That was reinstating after the...
Reinstating. However, you know, look at the rest of the country. And
of course, I understand. Yeah, okay.
Another one is the recent spate of burglaries that took place in Castleknock. He took it upon himself to approach Drew Harris, the Garda Commissioner, to sort that one out for him. What about the rest of the country?
Hang on a second. You have to remember, as well as being a Taoiseach, he also represents his own constituency as well.
He does.
Yeah, so he's quite entitled to do that.
He may be. It was very interesting if you'd ask me. The RIC commemoration could be the final nail in his coffin, which only took place last week. Mm-hmm. The hospital plans that look like they're going to clock up a tax bill of $2 billion for the taxpayer under his term. Another point is the €70 million of taxpayers' money he wants to waste on direct provision, which is useless for the people that it's providing housing for, apparently, per year, right? $70 million per year.
That's another $70 million on top of what they're already spending, yes.
Yeah, well, we have over 10,000 people registered homeless in this country. Who's he looking after? 3,000 of which almost are children. €1.8 million wasted of taxpayers' money on a printer, probably to print his letters that he wants to write.
It's actually Warden one, but it's now gone over €2 million, I believe, yeah.
€2 million, that's right.
Yeah.
On the 29th of December, there was an article about him as well, stating, basically stating, that he isn't ashamed of his government's housing record. How anyone could say that they're not ashamed of their current government's housing record...
Well, they defend it.
They
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I'm just giving you the opposite side. They will defend it and say that they have met all the proposed housing that they were planned to build, and that obviously the population increasing has a lot to do with the fact that people obviously don't have houses.
Niall, if you ask any member of the general public, if you're
I'm agreeing with you, by the way. But I'm just giving you the other side of the argument.
I agree with a lot of your arguments as well on day to day, but you know, if you're working for a company or a private sector organisation. And you know, you were breaking all the records, you know, at the other end of the scale. What would happen? You'd be gone. It's as simple as that. It's not even, his tenure is not even credible. It's kind of an insult to the Irish people, really, watching what's going on.
So you want to give Micheál Martin a turn and see how he is?
To be honest with you, yeah, I'm not going to go into the facts and figures about the individual behind, within Fianna Fáil itself, but he's the only one at the moment, really, that is a credible leader in this country. Now, Fianna Fáil did bring the country down back in 2005 to 2007, thereabouts.
Well, I know it was part of a global downturn, but we did it in style.
And as we know, there's a lot of to that. Our 10 to 12 years in that decade just preceding the events of the banking crisis, they did bring great times to this country. They brought opportunity. I remember people and you know, friends, colleagues of my own, coming out of college could get a job, start off their lives, and didn't have to be pushed abroad or told by their leader of their country to leave or ask their parents for inheritance. There was opportunity there, and they did bring it to the country. And I do believe, you know,
they had a lot of money. I mean, look at the money they were making on stamp duty, for God's sake.
Well, where's Mr. Fiscal with his, with you know, Pascal Donoghue with his books? He's great at talking about figures. Mm-hmm. And you know, the country is fiscally doing well. This is just a keep with their own cronies.
Well, they even announced during the week they got more, obviously the self-employed pay their taxes there, you know, going back a few weeks. They got more money than they expected.
More money than they expected.
There was an extra 2 billion or something.
Where is it?
Well, it goes into the past, doesn't it?
You know, Noel, my question is, where is it? And ask the people, where is it? Nowhere to be seen. Look at the state of the hospitals. I mean, it's actually sad.
But the hospitals, and I know I'm sounding like I'm criticising every argument, but obviously it's a debate, okay? But the hospital situation, 16 billion last year, an extra billion was thrown in for good measure during the years of top up, right? So 17 billion. It's nothing to do with money. It's bad management. Now, I don't get me wrong, I'm not a fan of Simon Harris's. I think he's too young for the job. I don't think he's mature enough for the job.
He's out of it, that he's lost.
Well, he is lost. And you know, and no harm to him. I don't know the guy. I'm sure he's a nice fella as a person, but he's not fit for the purpose there. I don't believe he's fit for purpose. But in saying that, it's not his fault if it's been badly managed. The money is there.
No, I'm sorry. In some sense, I agree at some level at a personal level. They're an organisation. They're a group of individuals that have been involved. They call themselves a political party called Fine Gael. They've had 10 years now to try and put some things right. Well, their only accolade, really, as they stand in power whenever they're questioned about what's wrong with the country, is to point the blame at their predecessors. They've had a decade now to fix things, and they've actually broken every record that's been in the history of the state in terms of homelessness for adults, for children, the housing crisis. It's just like there's so many records being broken by them at the wrong side of the scale that it's time to go. You know, they don't serve any good nor purpose for this country anymore and its people. I mean, if you play back what I've just read to you, like the detail, and that's only 6 or 7 facts, political facts about this political party and their tenure in the last 10 years. Anyone would tell you, I think it's time for a change. We can't live with this any longer. We have to change.
By the way, Tom just wants to make a point in relation to what you're saying. Bullshit from that man, Micheál Martin. Martin is very much the Fianna Fáil poster boy for the last Fianna Fáil government that destroyed the country. So it's ridiculous to say that he represents a new Fianna Fáil. He was also known for enjoying the high life as a Fianna Fáil minister and is renowned for spending the highest amount of ever in a hotel room in Geneva. I don't know about that. During his reign when Bertie Ahern led the country. Let me finish. Also, Martin did not exactly emerge from the Mahon Tribunal smelling of roses, even if there was no findings against him, says someone.
You know what? You ask me, I agree at some level. Look, it's the lesser some evils as opposed to just the two evils, okay? If you want the Sinn Féin government, you know what's going to happen.
Well, I wouldn't be a Sinn Féin man, but I'm listening to a lot of people, and it almost seems like Sinn Féin is the protest vote.
They are in some respect, but you know what? That just, you know, that legitimises the the ineptitude of the current regime, whereby they think they can just bully the people for so long, and then they end up turning. It's almost like something from Black Mirror or one of these Netflix series where the people are manipulated into a corner, but really it's going to backfire on them. And if we end up with a Sinn Féin government, the country will collapse.
Niamh, have you ever thought of voting for Sinn Féin?
No, and I think people need to be very careful what they wish for. To be honest, I totally agree with pretty much everything that he just said. I think one of the kindest things you could say about Leo is that he's out of touch, very out of touch. I mean, that's perhaps not his fault. He comes from a privileged upbringing, and he is privileged. And it's not his fault. He was born into that. But he's out of touch, you know.
I mean, when you say they're out of touch, okay, when you say they're out of touch, I put up a poll earlier on Twitter there about 3 hours ago, right? I said, with an election looming and the prospect of politicians grovelling at your doorstep for your precious votes, what issue is foremost on your mind? And I was thinking of this because I heard politicians waffling today, and they were all waffling on about the same issues. We can only list forward the poll, so comment below if you have any others you want to talk about. Okay, so I put in housing, healthcare, climate change and immigration. Housing got 23%, 28% for healthcare, climate change 4%. In other words, nobody gives a shit about it, really, apart from a few people that shout very loud, and probably the Green Party. Immigration, 45%. Now, that's nearly 2,000 votes. Not scientific, it's not a huge sample size, but it's still 2,000 people. And out of the 2,000 people, the majority of people believe that immigration, healthcare and housing, in that order, are the most important issues. Now, our government doesn't believe immigration is an issue at all.
No, do you know why? Because they're kissing the ass of the European bosses. They're looking after themselves. They're cutting deals behind the scenes. And basically, it doesn't even add up. I mean,
surely if, say, Varadkar or Harris or anybody else wanted to be, you know, popular, and if it's true that many people are concerned about immigration, surely they should just come out and say, actually, I'm going to do something about illegal immigration into Ireland. And people are going to get deported if they're not. It comes back to the argument that they're out of touch.
They're out of touch with the mood of the people.
It's not a popularity contest when it comes to the people. That's just to get themselves in the door. His popularity contest is with the bosses in Europe. Where is he going to be in 2 or 3 years' time if he's not in power? You can bet your ass he'll be an MEP in Europe.
Of course, we all know he's been planning that one, yeah.
So therefore, really, he does not care about the people. Any leader of a country that turns around to its young people who are looking for some form of hope or leadership or guidance in their own country or who want to stay, I mean, what kind of an Ireland do you want your children brought up in, really, at the end of the day? Do you want it under a Fine Gael government that will tell your children to leave the country, ask your parents for inheritance, or move in with them? What hope is that?
It's a sense of entitlement. It's a sense of entitlement.
Well, Leo Varadkar's parents might have had enough money to give him money for a deposit for a house, but I know my parents would have had it. Okay, some of the texts coming in. Stay there, please, folks. Simon Harris's wife has more qualifications to be health minister than him. That comes in from Mr. McKee. Thank you for giving me your second name. Appreciate that. I agree with Mick, but we need successful business people to oversee running the country. Fianna Fáil forgot them and they bankrupt the businesses and the country. I think that Michael O'Leary would be a great mentor. Well, here's the problem, and you're right. Successful people, like people like Alan Sugar and Michael O'Leary, all these kind of successful people. I'm going to mention Dennis O'Brien. I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with that. But all those successful businessmen would be better at running a country, I suppose, in some sense. But the problem is they're very successful, they're very wealthy, and they don't need the job. Let me go to Tom. Tom, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Tom?
Niall, how are you? Listen, I'm gonna break it down quite simply, and we can go through the major parties. Fianna Fáil fucked up the economy. Fine Gael have fucked up society. The likes of Labour, the Greens, have just been the hangers-on, especially the Independents. Now, I'm not a Sinn Féin supporter myself, by any means, but the way I look at it is, they are, I think, going to get a large protest vote myself. And I, do you know something? We've tried all the other crap that's there. Maybe give
but we've seen what Sinn Féin are capable of in the North. Nothing.
Yeah, well, they couldn't even
get together to form a government, for God's sake.
But sure, no,
and,
no.
And housing, look at housing up the north, for example. It's a worse problem in the north than it is down here.
I know that. Look, I see it myself here. I can give you a local perspective. I live in Limerick at the moment, where the housing crisis is quite substantial, and we'll say mental health issues. I'm just giving you just from what I've seen myself. And the only ones that seem to be at the forefront of pushing anything are the local representatives of Sinn Féin.
But they are, but they're socialist party. I didn't believe you were a socialist, Tom.
No, I'm not saying no, but I'm just talking about the issues that are affecting people. The immigration issue in the poll, that's just a divisive asset the government are using. The government have become very good at playing us against them, conquering the divide tactics over the last few years. They've been pushing one agenda to get another agenda through. That's what they've been doing. Another thing that I'm not going to take any sides at Leo Varadkar like that. I think he's inept. If I'm being honest, I think they're so far detached from reality at the moment that people are suffering. And we see that. Like, all you have to do is go through the figures that were there last year.
Well, he put out a little video on New Year's Eve there, 2.5 minutes long. Of all the great things that he's done.
Yeah. What about the negative things that have happened?
He didn't mention them in his video.
No, but you see, he's not going to, because that's an electioneering posture. That's what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
My own view is, look, I think it's going to wind up. I think both parties now are courting the Greens and possibly Labour. I think the Greens will get a vote, but I do think Sinn Féin will get a large vote.
Yeah, the Greens got in the last local elections got a lot of protest votes.
But I think they're...
They also got a bit off the... I mean, look, they've Greta Thunberg to thank for a lot at the moment because they're getting a few votes off the back of the whole panic-stricken climate change people.
I just think, look, if I'm honest, me as a voter, I'm just sick of the way this country's gone, because I know I'm raising my daughter for immigration. I know that myself. I don't want her to stay in this country. If this country... My daughter's half Polish. Being honest, if this country stays on the track it's on... I want her to go to Poland. I don't want her to have anything to do with this.
Well, I don't know if it's much better in Poland, to be honest.
I'll put it to you this, I've lived over there for a few years. I'm not saying it's much better. I'm not saying it's utopia. I can see why so many left. But as it goes, the healthcare system is better. The education system is better. It has its own faults, like any other country does, and any society. But at the way things are going here, she'll probably be in a position she'll never be able to afford her own house. Do you know what I mean? And you see, one thing that we've got in this country, and it's been bred to us since day one, and you know it yourself, Niall, you're no one unless you have a house. That's been bred into us.
Mm-hmm.
The likes of the European model has been, look, you have greater security of tenure.
It's cultural. It's a cultural thing that we like to own our own homes. Yeah.
And that's fine.
That's okay, yeah.
I'm into myself. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal for me. I can get over that. Do you know where I'm coming from and get on with it? You know, that's life. But the problem that we have here at the moment is I think the biggest one is, look, I could go on about the immigration thing. I'm not going to, because, I don't know enough about it to make an educated comment on it. What I will say is, 10,000 people homeless, 3,000 of that is children. And what we're seeing is a new term that's starting to be used is the homeless community. The fact that we're doing that is, and look, Niall, do you know, I'm going to say something now that people mightn't like. Do you know something? It's our own fault. We're the greatest show of fucking hypocrites in this country. We'll roar and shout about water charges, and rightly so. Yes, we do sweet fuck all about innocent women that have died of cervical cancer because of, how would you put it, incompetence. Basically incompetence in certain cases.
So, in other words, once a bit of time elapses and the elections come around again, we vote for the same people that we were given out about 4 years ago.
Look, take the example here in Limerick. Willie O'Dea, Tipperary, Mick Lowry. If they never put up a poster, they will walk in.
That's generational, isn't it?
Yeah, it's generational.
The same goes for the Healy Rays, for example, yeah.
Yeah, but if you look at it, in those areas, they deliver for the local community. We've got to get rid of this whole Paris punk ideology.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, yeah.
We have to get rid of
that. But in saying that, you know, Niamh made a good point earlier on that although she wasn't a fond of the party, the local representatives from the party were very good to her and they were very good to the local people. So that does count for something as well.
Look, at a local level, that's fine, but you see, it's the national level, everyone's getting affected. You see, this is the thing. I'll just give you this one example, right? The Children's Hospital. It would have been better for them to build that on a greenfield site off the M50.
Absolutely.
It would have given better access for people coming with their kids. It would have given better access for the emergency services to get through there.
Yeah.
And it's like, this fucking thing doesn't even have a helicopter pad that can take one of the S-92s, which is the Coast Guard helicopter.
I don't know who was responsible for the planning and giving the planning permission for the hospital where it is, but they need to down tools now and just stop and relocated. It was it's a ridiculous place to put a hospital in the centre of a city that already has a problem with traffic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we can't see the methodology.
Well, the original site wasn't at the Mater, beside the Mater Hospital.
Do you know where it would have been an ideal spot for the National Children's
That was Hospital? Just as bad, by the way, the Mater Hospital. But go on, yeah.
After this, would have been at Lone.
Yeah.
It's the centre of the country. You've got a rescue helicopter there. On the west coast over in... One of the rescue helicopters over in Mayo. You've got 115 in Shannon. You've got 117 in Waterford. And 118 in Dublin.
That's a very good point.
The ICR or this new helicopter service in Cork. Like, the Air Corps medical response helicopter can respond more or less anywhere in less than an hour, the golden hour, to anywhere in the country.
Yeah, so in a way, and also it would have better access for everybody. Yes, it would be a little bit more inconvenient for the Dubs because, of course, you'd have to travel, you know, 45 minutes or an hour to that loan.
There's a fucking motorway in it. Either angle, there's a motorway into all angles of Athlone, more or less.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you completely. I never agreed it should have been in Dublin City because that's a stupid place to put a massive hospital that everybody would want to have access to. Well, sorry, Seamus, just stay there because I want to come to Niall, another Niall, by the way. I want to come to him first and then I'll come back to Seamus because I know you want to say something. Sorry, Niall, go ahead.
Hi. I'm not... First of all, I'm liberal.
Right.
And I'm... a millennial, so you won't like that. But
well, I've no objection to you being alive. That's just saying.
But I won't be voting for Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil.
Okay, who will you be voting for?
Most likely independents.
Okay.
But I might vote for Social Democrats.
Right.
I might if there's any. I tend to vote for younger. Politicians who are just trying to
well, that's no
make
harm,
a name
yeah.
for themselves.
That's no harm, provided you believe what they're saying to you. But I mean, and what are the issues that you believe are the ones that we should be focused on?
Okay, well, housing.
Yep.
There needs to be affordable housing, not so much social housing. But
I think we're all in agreement on that. I think that's a given now at this stage.
I think climate change needs to be done, and I think
What do you think needs to be done with climate change?
I think we should, like, the better implement... I mean, I honestly don't believe that this sort of, what was it, the electric cars by 2030.
You don't believe that, no.
Well, honestly, what's going to happen to hybrid cars?
Yeah, I don't know.
But this
is a soundbite by Leo and the gang that we're going to get rid of cars by 2030. That's not going to happen. Sure, even in Britain, they said 2045, for God's sake.
Yeah, you had to count in the people who have hybrids.
Yeah. Okay, so, but would you like, are you happy to see people being taxed, you know, to pay the bills for the climate chart, or the climate changes?
It depends if the money, where the money is going to.
But, I mean, but you are happy to see people paying more tax because of it?
It all depends on where the funding is going to.
If the funding is going to, well, what you believe is the right place, for example, to rid us of fossil fuels and to reduce our CO2 emissions, do you believe it's fair to charge people more money for diesel, more money for petrol, more money for heating oil, yeah, more money for any fossil fuels?
Not really, no, because the...
you're not really a climate change supporter.
As much money as, the, you know, as they're not really getting...
Yeah.
What they should. You get more money when you're on social welfare. So I don't know. I don't think that is the way to go. But I do think that we should be planning ahead towards climate change.
Okay. Well, let me just go to Seamus on that. Seamus, climate change. You know, I heard this morning on RTE about five or six politicians. Every one of them threw it in. It's almost like a little buzzword now.
No, they have to, because Greta Thunberg brought it to the forefront, and yeah. Every young person in the world is watching it. You know, so that's, you know, any government of her obviously is going to go with the crowd.
It's like saying squirrel at this stage, isn't it?
Yeah,
squirrel.
Yeah, yeah. As we all know.
Yeah.
Like, look at climate change. We're all for it. I agree with you know, aspects of it. But on a grander scale, as you've mentioned before as well, we're a small little island on a very big world, you know, and there are...
Yeah, us fleecing the people with taxes is not going to make a difference to what Korea and China put it out.
Having an Annette Taoiseach Mr. Varadkar stand there, you know, before his European and international counterparts and make statements, you know, representing this country and its people, saying that we're going to set an example to the big, the bigger powers in this world.
Think we're going to set an example. I think that's just being crazy. But
yeah, well, these are ridiculous statements that came from your current Taoiseach.
Yeah. In fairness to Niall, he's not voting for him anyway, so.
I'm not voting for him.
Yeah.
Nobody would.
I haven't heard anybody come on tonight that is voting for him. I'd be worried if I was him.
I want to pull out of social welfare.
Oh, you what? Sorry, Niall, but social welfare.
Yeah, I think that I don't like the way that people with disabilities are brushing the carpet and not being put.
That's what you were before, Niall. You have a disability, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want. A better implement to be better infrastructure for people to come on to be able to go into the workplace.
Yep, I think Ireland falls very short in the world certainly in civilized society when it comes to employment of people with disability.
We just brush these people under the carpet.
You're almost an inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. We need to do more when it comes to that. Sorry, Seamus, finish what you're saying.
I agree with him there, but just to say, like, the current government are inept when it comes to planning, spending money and allocation of state funds for services. They have just displayed throughout their whole term their complete ineptitude. The reason you should have a change of government, and whether it be Fianna Fáil or independence or a combination thereof, is that you will have, Pascal Donoghue is going to come out now, Mr. Fiscal, and state to the country, you have 5% growth. Well, if we have 5% growth, I'd rather we have a change of government, you guys step away, and we'll take a new government that can allocate the funds properly and show aptitude when it comes to allocating state funds for the people of the country. Because this current government under Fianna Gael, you know, you know, whether it be Simon Harris, Leo Varadkar, Colby and Co., and Mr. Fiscal, Pascal Donoghue, they're great at talking about numbers on a book or an accountancy TAS book. But when it comes to, like, you know, give me an example or something like that and show me what your people are, you know.
Oh, well, I heard them today. I don't know who it was I heard today. Wasn't Matthew McGrath. I can't remember who it was on RTE today, saying that by the end of this month, he's hoping to, you know, this is a super time to have an election because I'm bringing in legislation at the end of this month. And sure, they said to him, but you've had 4 years to bring it in. So why didn't you bring it in before?
10 years. You know, 10 years in power.
Yeah, well, no, obviously he was in this position, ministerial position, whoever he was. I can't remember who he was. You know, you've had the last 4 years to bring it in. Why don't you choose to bring it in now just before an election? Let me go to Billy and then I'm going to come to Niall McConnell as well, who's running in Donegal. Stay there, Niall, I'll be just a second. Billy, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Billy?
Hello, Niall. How are you keeping?
Good, Billy. Who are you voting for and why?
I have no idea, Niall.
Right.
I'll tell you who I voted for in the past. I voted Fine Gael the last time around.
Right. Do you regret that? Are you happy with your vote?
I'm happy with my vote because I remember coming out of college in 2009 and the country was pretty much in the toilet. Anyone coming out of college either left the country to go teaching elsewhere, get jobs elsewhere, or you went on the dole and you tried to work your way out. And in 2011, unemployment was at 15% and today it's at 4.8%.
Mm-hmm.
Average industrial income has gone up. I know a lot of people will say that that's not true, but if you look at the statistics, it is.
Yeah, but unemployment may be at an all-time low, but yet there are a lot more minimum wage jobs now than there was before. Say, for example, during the Celtic Tiger, people were earning a lot more.
Not disagreeing with you. And if you look at it now, people are actually earning more on average at 39,000 as opposed to 34,000 back in 2011. So things have
Well, 2011, as you rightly pointed out, between end of 2008 and 2014, the country was in the toilet.
Yeah, and there's no denying that. But if you go back to 2009 even, I don't think the average salary was at €39,000.
But if I go back to 2006, during the Celtic Tiger, when Fianna Fáil were in, people's average salary was a lot higher than that.
I don't think so.
I know most people. I'd say, I'll just use the media, for example. I was earning more in 2002 than I'm earning now.
In the media, but the media is what, a small percentage of people?
Yeah, no, I'm just giving you an example. And I know a lot of people, even public servants, took a pay cut of 20-30%, hasn't been completely reinstated yet. In the private sector, most people were hit by 20 or 30%.
Haddington Road has restored, and I heard one of your contributors earlier on talking about TDs getting money back.
Yeah.
I was under the Haddington Road agreement. But
absolutely,
anyway,
splitting
hairs on the issue. I don't think I'd vote for Fine Gael. They have made a balls out of housing. So people, even with good jobs, can't get mortgages. The banks will not give, will only give 3.5%, and that's a central bank.
And is that, and I'm not defending Fine Gael here, but is that just not their fault? And the fact that, A, the population has increased astronomically in the last 30 years, particularly, and also they're really just putting out the fire, aren't they?
Well, they are putting out the fire, and I give them credit for putting out the fire to the extent they have. Fianna Fáil wouldn't get a vote either because they crashed the ship. Is it the same party?
Is it the same party that crashed the ship? There is a few of them in there, all right.
There's plenty. Micheál Martin was Minister for Health, Minister for Foreign Affairs. Éamon Ó Cuaoimh is still there. He's got the old school Fianna Fáil DNA. There's plenty of them that are still there now. In fairness, there's the likes of Jack Chambers, Lisa Chambers that have come through that are a newer generation. But have they drank from the poison chalice that is Fianna Fáil? Mm-hmm. The Labour Party, they're great in theory until they actually get into power, and then they turn out to be more extreme and conservative than the worst parties that are of that ilk anyway.
Well, they're certainly losing the race over the last 10 years anyway, that's for sure.
The Social Democrats, they're all things to all men and women. They can't decide the policy because they're too afraid that it'll annoy someone. So I don't think they'll get a vote.
Looks familiar, like Fine Gael.
Well, if you look at the Social Democrats, they definitely try and keep everyone happy. Fine Gael know they pissed a lot of people off over the last couple of years, that's for sure. And Sinn Féin, they'd never get a vote. I heard one of your contributors earlier on, Niall, talking about the Defence Forces and the way that they've been treated over the last 10 years has been absolutely abysmal. The cuts in pay for young lads going in as recruits and privates into the Defence Forces has been terrible. Some of them living on less than €1,200.
Yeah, I would agree with you. If you're going to have a defence force, or if you believe we need one and we have one, you should pay them properly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's members of defence forces. It was in the Journal the other day. I know it's one of your favourite publications, but referencing that there's 150 plus of them that are living on housing assistance payments to pay their rent.
People that's
who
disgraceful.
Are serving the
yeah.
state should not be living on housing assistance payment. They're giving up their time. They're doing duties on a daily basis. Some of them are getting absolutely ridden multiple times a week doing 24-hour duties and getting a pittance for 24, 25 euro for doing a 24-hour duty. Like, it's not on and it's not fair in this day and age. There's one candidate running in Kildare South, Cottle Berry, who's an ex-member of the Ranger Wing and a doctor. If I was in his constituency, I'd be very much voting for him because I think he's got his head screwed on right and he's, you know,
okay, but you're not in his constituency. So who are you giving your vote? Who are you giving your vote to?
I'll have to see.
Well, hang on, Seamus. So who are you giving your vote to? Sorry.
At this stage, Niall, I have no idea. But you know, I'm finding it difficult to vote for any of them because I don't see.
I think it's pretty sad that everybody is saying the same thing, that they don't know who they're going to vote to. Sorry, Seamus, you want to say something there to him?
No,
go ahead.
Just the point he made there about this, whoever it was being a doctor. We currently have a Taoiseach who's a doctor who made a ridiculous statement there only within the last couple of weeks looking to, increase the pub license there, or to, yeah.
24-hour license, yeah.
24-hour licenses. But what happens with that was one of the reasons they actually cut back on that whole term was to take the pressure off the hospital. I mean, this is a GP.
Well, he's not the first one to suggest that. I was at a talk show in 2002, and I'm trying to remember who the Minister of Justice was at the time I interviewed him. Oh gosh,
yeah,
Fianna Fáil, Minister of Justice.
In the current government, anyway. I mean, the statements they're making.
But he suggested the same thing of 24-hour license.
It's ludicrous stuff.
It is in this day and age to suggest that we should increase the problem that we already have when it comes to alcohol dependency in this country. But stay there, both of you, for a second, if you possibly can, Billy and also Seamus. Let me just go to Niall McConnell, who's actually running in the election in Donegal as an independent. Niall, good evening to you. How are you?
How's it going, Niall? Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Niall, I mean, I'm not going to ask you who you'd vote for, but why should people vote for you?
Well, first and foremost, I put the Irish nation first and the Irish people. My loyalty lies to no one else but the Irish people and the Irish nation. I've been very active myself. It's actually ironic that I'm calling into the show because I have my own radio show on my own YouTube channel called The Irish Patriot. I have my own call-in show. People call in, voice their opinions, and it feels a bit strange me calling into the show.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, why should you vote for me? I've been very active on exposing this radical sex indoctrination they're trying to introduce to our children. In fact, they're already doing it. And
this is the new sex ed bill in the US, new RSE.
Yes, but also another branch of that is this porn literacy that has emerged out of NUIG, this liberal hellhole, as I call it. We have these.
Are you? But can I ask you? Are you a Christian? No.
Yeah, I'm open Catholic.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not ashamed to say it.
I didn't ask you to be ashamed. I'm just curious. I just wanted to know if that was influencing your feelings on the matter. But when you said you represent the Irish people, or you want to represent the Irish people, who do you consider to be Irish? What's your definition of Irish people? Is that people living on the island of Ireland, or is that people who are genetically Irish? In other words, indigenously Irish.
No, you have to have a loyalty to the nation.
Okay, so define a loyalty. So if I come from Poland or if I come from Nigeria and I've been living here for the last 20 years and I've gained Irish citizenship, am I an Irish person?
There definitely is an ethnic identity to it. There absolutely is.
Am I Irish? If I have an Irish passport, am I Irish?
No, you're not, no.
So what am I?
Well, you're a Polak. Like, if I move to China and I get a Chinese passport, does that make me Chinese?
Well, it does make you a Chinese citizen.
No, but, like, that's... I would call them paper Irish.
Well, they are Irish citizens.
No,
I'm not talking about people who are living illegally in the country. I think everybody, or most people, would agree that we have to have some control over immigration. I'm not talking about people who are illegally in the country or people who are waiting status or who are due to be deported. I'm talking about people who have been here for 20, 30 years, gained Irish citizenship through naturalisation. Do you not believe they should be treated the same?
Well, they should be treated the same, but I don't. It's not that I hate anyone else, but my loyalty lies to the Irish people. Like, we've been here for thousands of years. My ancestors have been here for thousands of years.
So if I live in Donegal and I originate from China and I'm here for 25 years and I have an Irish passport, I won't get loyalty from you.
Well, no, you're not an Irishman. You might have a passport that says you're Irish, but no, you're not Irish.
So I won't.
Sorry, Niall.
Yeah, Seamus.
Billy, no. Or Niall, just want to ask him a question. How many generations do you have to go back to qualify as being Irish underneath his ethnostate?
Well, the Bible says 7 generations.
7 generations. So in that case, I'm not Irish. By your justification, I'm not Irish. Even though I was born in Ireland, my parents are Irish, my grandparents are Irish, I'm not Irish under your ethnic status as being Irish. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, pretty much.
And tell me, have you served this state?
Huh?
Have you been a member of the Defence Forces? Have you been a member of An Garda Síochána? Have you made an oath to the state to serve it?
No, my ancestors have been here
for
thousands of years.
No, you haven't. Can you prove that? Is that an Ancestry.com proof, or what's the basis of that like?
No, we don't have to pick this apart. I would like to talk about my policies.
Well,
hang on, Seamus. I think it's fair. You know, if you're putting yourself out there and your opening line was...
Sorry,
Seamus
here. You had the wrong one.
Oh, sorry. Your opening line was, Niall, that you want to represent and be loyal to the Irish people. I think it's fair to pick apart your argument as to what you define as an Irish person. And you've now reduced the amount of Irish people in this country probably down to a couple of 100,000.
I wouldn't agree with that.
Well, you've just gone back 7 generations.
Yeah, well, like that's what my faith tells me. You know, that's what the Bible says. You know.
No, can I just interject there? I think the detective, this independent, he's looking to, he's probably trying to err on the side of what we call in quotes Irish people. But like, maybe one of his policies is to try and, you know, close the doors in terms of immigration or regulate it a bit more.
I don't have an issue with anybody who wants to regulate immigration and enforce immigration policy, because that's what immigration policy is for. And those who are genuinely in vulnerable situations and are in need of a red carpet, I think they should get it. And those who are not shouldn't, because we don't have room for economic migrants. So I'm not suggesting for a minute that, you know, he's wrong in suggesting that there should be some level of loyalty to Irish people. But this idea that, you know, Irish people, for Irish people, you have to go back to before somebody's been naturalised or before 7 generations. But okay, but Niall, let's deal with other policies that you have, because I think we focus a bit too much on that already.
But just one more, I'd like to rebuttal some of what you're saying there. Like, I don't understand this outward preference and self-loathing for your own people.
I don't have any self-loathing for my own people.
Well, you're sounding there like you're kind of a bunch of West Brits, to be quite honest with you.
Well, because we don't accept your idea or your definition of what's Irish.
Well, I don't know. Where does your loyalty lie? Does it lie?
I don't. Well, hang on. I'm very loyal to Ireland, but I don't know whether my family tree goes back 7 generations in Ireland. I know my grandfather was Irish. My great grandfather was probably Irish. That's as far as I go back.
Niall, there was a good example in Western Europe in the 30s and 40s of someone who wanted multiple generations of.
I actually can't even understand what that man's saying.
Okay, he's saying basically what you're saying is fascism.
I don't even know what that is. I'm an Irish nationalist.
You've never heard the word fascism before, of course.
Maybe you want to explain it to me.
Oh, okay, all right. I'm not going to be childish about the whole thing. Okay, let's move on to your other policies. Okay, so Niall O'Connell, who's running in Donegal, is an independent. What else are you focused on? Housing?
No, well, just I didn't get to finish on the topic of this radical sex indoctrination. I've been focusing heavily on NUIG Galway. This is where all this perversion is coming from. For example, they have actually these quote-unquote sex educators who have degrees in porn. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. And I caught one of these sex educators red-handed on April 2019 that she was teaching 16-year-olds porn literacy, and she tweeted out a picture of a flip chart with the most disgusting pornographic terms. I won't repeat the terms that she used, but just imagine the most disgusting terms. She was teaching this to our children.
Oh, and what age group was she teaching those particular terms or defining those terms?
She said in the tweet below or a comment that they were for 16-year-olds.
Well, 16-year-olds, if you're talking about terms, and I wouldn't be objecting to 16-year-olds being told that, for example, pornography, for example, is something that is not real, it's fantasy. And
what
that,
about bestiality? Should you be telling them about
bestiality? Well, I should be telling them that I would be telling a 16-year-old that it's illegal and that it's disgusting and depraved.
Well, in my opinion, they shouldn't be exposed to this kind of stuff at all.
Well, with greatest respect, your opinion is your opinion, but I can tell you now that the average 16-year-old has seen more porn than you and I.
No, I don't agree with that.
It doesn't make it right.
I'm not. By the way, there's a lot of the US RSE and sex education bill next year that I don't agree with. A lot of the gender stuff that I don't agree with. But, you know, the fact we're talking about porn literacy, but we're talking about 16-year-olds, not 7-year-olds or 8-year-olds, 16-year-olds. I think it's important that we make sure that young boys and young girls don't have some unjust expectation from sex.
But in an interview with the Communist NUIG Galway, she says that she wants to introduce it to younger children as well, not only 16-year-olds.
Okay, well, I don't know because, you know, Katie's obviously on the air, but I'm assuming she's talking about young teenagers. I would hope that she wouldn't be talking about it younger than that and talking about porn. And I would like to think that would be age-appropriate. Now, to move on from that, and RSE and the Sex Education Bill, what parts of the Sex Education Bill, which is due, it's now at a third stage in the Shannon, or the Senate, should I say, what parts of the bill do you object to?
Well, I've already covered the sex ed. I've about 4 or 5 other things. Can we just move on to a couple of other things?
Okay,
now, please?
Well, okay, very quickly, then go on.
Another thing, if not the most important thing, is mass emigration. Our hardest working Irish are leaving the country. 30,000 to 50,000 are leaving every year. They're forced out of the country because we're importing hundreds of thousands of cheap foreign labourers. Our doctors are leaving, our nurses are leaving, our carpenters are leaving. It's the most important generation too. It's extremely important because.
And I'm not going to disagree with you, but in relation to nurses, for example, if you go to any of the major hospitals in this country, you will see that the majority of the people and nurses that work there are not Irish. And if we were to depend on Irish nurses to stay here, we would be snookers and we wouldn't have a healthcare system at all. Well, we depend on nurses coming from other countries.
No, that's not true either, because our nurses have been forced out. They're not being given full-time jobs. For example, here
they
in Donegal,
are being given. They move to the NHS because they have better opportunities.
No, well, from my own personal experience of talking to nurses in Donegal, none of them are offered full-time jobs. They're only offered 19 hours a week.
That doesn't go across the board because the majority of nurses that are around at the moment, and particularly in Dublin or in the city, in the major hospitals or in Limerick or Cork or Galway, are being offered full-time jobs. It's just there isn't enough of them.
Sorry, Niall, but tell that to the hundreds of young nurses in Sydney who were begging to come home. And they went.
Hang on. A lot of nurses went to Dubai, they went to Sydney, they went into the NHS. A, because they went, some of them went for more money. Now, mind you, the NHS doesn't pay a huge amount more, but they do in Sydney, and they certainly do in Dubai. And a lot of them went over there because they get more money and they've better promotion.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
Because Ireland is a small country.
No, but you, see, this is the whole problem. They're being forced out, and I agree, wages are a big problem. So why don't we pay our nurses and our doctors an adequate wage? And now stop treating our doctors.
But you just said to me that there's people coming in, nurses and doctors from abroad, on cheap labour. They're not in cheap labour in the hospitals. They get paid the same as Irish nurses.
That's the problem, but there's no incentive.
I'm not disagreeing with his point totally. But what I'm saying is, if we didn't have those nurses that were coming in from all around the world, most of them from outside Europe, we'd be snookers.
I would.
One thing with the mass emigration and then the mass influx of cheap labour. A lot of this is being force-fed by the Leo Varadkar.
I'm agreeing with his point that we shouldn't be allowing unskilled workers into the country. No other country allows unskilled people in, you know, based on a visa system or an immigration policy. You have to have a profession. You have to have a promise of a job. In the UK, when Brexit happens, you will have to be earning over £35,000 to be allowed into Great Britain and a promise of a job. And you have to be a skilled worker or a profession that a British person can't do. And that's the way normally that visa applications work. We shouldn't be allowing people to come in unemployed. That's a given, and I agree with that. Sorry, Billy, you want to say something there? Go ahead.
Niall, this is, you know, it's the General Doherty rhetoric coming in here. It's the, you know, immigrants are taking our jobs. For the most part, as I said earlier on, we've got a 4.8% unemployment rate. There's more jobs than there are people in the country at this stage. You know, I agree with you that there should be certain skill levels before people come in, and unskilled labour coming in is going to probably cause problems down the line. And we also have issues with housing, not having adequate and enough housing for people to come in. But to be honest with you, if someone wants to come and work in Ireland, they have a job to come to, and there's housing for them, and they're willing to pay tax.
They're willing to pay tax and pay for their own housing, yeah.
And keep the society going and contribute to society, I say welcome them.
I don't understand this self-loathing, outward preference to foreigners. We are happy to import cheap foreign labour that, very basically, economics drives down the wages. We have 10,000 that we know of, probably 15,000 in the 26 counties are homeless at the minute. And how come we're able to house these foreigners we're bringing into the country?
We're going to ask you a question about cheap foreign labour, right? There will always be, every country in the world does it, by the way, people who come into countries as students, for example, who have their student visa expires or whatever it is, but hang around for a couple of years afterwards until they get caught and kicked out. Who will end up working in garages, who will end up working in takeaways, who will end up working in nightclubs, cleaning the toilets. Jobs that Irish people probably won't do. Your Irish people that you talk about. And that's always been the case. There are jobs out there that people will just not do because either low-paying jobs and B, they're just probably not the most, you know, welcoming jobs in the world. So, and we always tend to see people who have come into the country who might be studying or doing those jobs. That's always been the case, hasn't it?
No, like, how has that always been the case? Maybe in recent times, because,
I can remember.
I'm 56. Recent generations have become very weak, especially the men. We're not real men anymore, but that's another story for another day.
Right.
I'd just like to talk about another...
I'm a real man.
I'm sure you are, Niall.
The Irish Patriot there, the one thing I'd like to say, and I'll finish on, the only self-loathing and hatred I've heard here is from him. He sounds like he hates himself. No confidence to be able to be with people from outside of the country. You know, there's absolute ardent racism from him. Talking about creating some sort of Irish ethno-state that only 7 generations back can live in. It's disgusting to hear someone from this country that is welcoming, that gave the Cave Mill a faucet to hundreds of thousands of people who visit here on a yearly basis. You know, this type of stuff coming from it's disgusting.
Give him the right to respond to that. Go ahead now.
Well, there's more self-loathing from this man here. You go and tell that to all the mothers and fathers who have sons and daughters that were forced out of the country to Australia.
And I agree with you, and that happened more so in 2010, 11 and 12, of course, when the country collapsed. And I understand
I was one of them people. I was forced out to America.
But that was a circumstance. We went into a recession. Ireland was in a recession. There's no reason, for example, well, apart from housing is a big problem in this country at the moment for young people wanting to get housing, get on the housing ladder. But at the moment, there's plenty of opportunities for young people leaving college if they have the skills.
Yeah, but the fact that we've opened borders and we're importing cheap foreign labour, it automatically drives down the wages. It's just basic economics. When you bring in cheap foreign labour, like there's more...
But you're almost sounding like we're going around recruiting it. You know, I mean, people, I completely agree with you that we don't have room for economic migrants. I completely agree with you that we should have we do have an immigration policy and it should be enforced. But I do also believe that there are people that come from countries who are less fortunate than us, whose lives genuinely are in danger. And there is an asylum process that we have signed up to, and there is a refugee program that we have signed up to. And, you know, and basically it's called being humane.
Being humane, right? Well, can I move to Japan?
And by the way, I'm agreeing with you in the sense that there are many people coming into this country illegally, and you know, and for some reason or another, we tend not to deport people, and I understand the logic behind that.
No, but like,
but I'm not going to. Your seven generation nonsense is bizarre, to say the least.
But like, hold on. I should be allowed to chat here. Japan and China, they control their borders.
No, this is not Japan and China. Thankfully.
Do you like
China? Do you like the way they run their country?
No, I don't. No, but I'm making an example here. Can I make my point? If I moved to Japan or China or, for example, Israel, do you think they would allow me to sit on social welfare? And do you think they would give me...
No, they're different countries. No, and you're right. And people should not be allowed to come to Ireland and sign on social welfare and sign up for housing without actually contributing to the state. I completely agree with you. And that's why we have an immigration policy whereby you must apply for a visa, unless, of course, you're an asylum seeker or on the refugee program. You have to sign up for a visa and you have to have a promise of a job. But unfortunately, yes, we have been remiss when it comes to that policy for some liberal reason. And I don't necessarily agree with that. Sorry, Seamus, you wanted to say something?
No, just for some liberal reason. But I'm coming in from a neutral point of view there. I'm not going to agree on either side there, but... You know, when you talk about...
You don't agree with the seven generations thing, do you?
No, I don't. And sure, I wouldn't fit into that bracket anyway. So, he's lost.
Well, are you a foreigner?
I'd be on the plane shipped out as well, you know?
Ah, yeah.
But I mean, I see myself as Irish as they come. I've been here since the beginning.
How many generations?
I'm here for 4.5 generations now.
Wow, well, you're not Irish. Niall says you're not Irish, that's the end of it.
I would like to move on.
I'm just saying, Niall, you said he wasn't Irish.
Can I just say, some of my family are actually from Donegal as well, in Derry, so...
Ah, but they're not Irish either.
I'm not Irish either, no. They go way back.
You continue to make fun of me.
I am, when I'm making fun of that silly fact that you're not Irish unless you go back seven generations.
Niall, I was in class, I went to university, I went to college, I was in the same class as one of his colleagues there, Pierce Doherty.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know he's a Sinn Féiner, but like, that's, you know...
He's not a Sinn Féiner, he's an independent.
No, I know, but, you know, he's up there anyway, like, in Donegal. Look, when you talk, like, you refer to, this liberal viewpoint, it's almost like a liberal Nazi viewpoint that's been pushed out by Fine Gael at a social level now, which is even more dangerous nowadays. I mean, there was an independent... TD from Cork, I think Michael Collins, who's on the TV show there with Matt Cooper.
The Tonight Show. I've been on it a few times. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, he made a comment saying, you know, and he brought the point up legitimately that, you know, why are the government basically opening the doors? You know, wasting 70 million per year roughly on the direct provision centres when there's over 10,000 people, 3,000 of which almost are children, Irish children, on the streets. Are registered homeless. Why are they doing this? And, you know, the same Fine Gael members on the panel there turning their heads, you know, looking the European way, saying these are dangerous comments, basically trying to brand this guy a Nazi or, you know, a racist, when he's not.
Well, I think there are people. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the word racism is used very easily nowadays. But, I mean, the thing about it is, I think some people genuinely are racist. I think others are just confused. Others are just concerned. And you know, I have no problem with patriotism, by the way. And I would have no problem at all if Niall said, you know, I represent Irish people, but I believe you're Irish or you're an Irish citizen. You may not have Irish heritage, but you're an Irish citizen by law under the constitution of this country once you carry a passport.
true.
And that's the law, man.
Can I jump on there? Just
well, I mean, do you accept the constitution of this country now?
Which one? The De Valera 37 constitution?
Yeah.
No, the only legal bona fide constitution is the 1919 sovereign constitution. And the Independence Day, we celebrate it every year. The 21st of January this year is the 101st anniversary of the sovereign doll in the Mansion House.
So you don't accept that anybody with an Irish passport is Irish?
What did I just say now?
Yeah, I know, okay, I'm just asking you. I wanted to clarify it.
No, you asked me, did I believe in the 37 Constitution? I said, no, the you only legal bona fide is the 1919. Well, are you aware of the 1919 sovereign?
No, I wouldn't be aware of it. You would. I'm sure you're going to educate me.
No, oh, I just educated you there now.
Oh, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
So, can I just move on now?
No, well, very quickly. You've got 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Right, okay. I'll go real quickly. As a sheep farmer myself in East Donegal, this green agenda is destroying rural Ireland. This climate action plan that the government released there, they want to increase carbon tax by 650% by 2050. They want to ban petrol and diesel engines by 2030. They want to plant millions of trees on our land. They want to destroy rural Ireland. And there's an elephant in the room too with the monopoly of Larry Goodman. He has a complete stranglehold over the farming industry in Ireland. And I vow to smash the Goodman monopoly in the company.
Okay, so are you going to set up your own processing plant?
I'm going to keep that close to my chest at the minute to see.
Okay, well, good luck to you on that. If you want to go to competition with Larry Goodman. But in relation to climate action plans, yes, I'm not going to completely disagree with the expectations of the government and the promises of the government in relation to climate change are completely unrealistic and stupid. And yes, and they will damage rural Ireland. I completely agree with you.
Yeah. No, just
well, at least you agree on one thing now. Before that, it wouldn't be nice of me not to agree with something that you said tonight.
Good man. Now, you probably hopefully you'll agree with us too. I believe in nationalizing all our resources. Ireland is filled with gold, oil, gas, and we have the largest...
Well, we can't do that until we leave Europe.
That's another thing, absolutely. Leave the European Union.
Okay, well, I'm not going to completely disagree with a referendum on that in the future, yes.
No, if you want to ask me, how do we pay our nurses? How do we pay our farmers? How do we help our healthcare system? We nationalise the resources. We nationalise the banks. We stop practising usury. But back to the resources, we nationalised the gold, stopped giving it to foreign companies. I confronted Minister Bruton at the ploughing championships about this, and he said that the resources belong to foreign companies, not the Irish people. So that's what we do. We nationalise the resources.
Okay, and as I said to you, yeah, I'm not going to completely disagree with you. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't probably know enough about it to even discuss the matter with you. But in relation to it, I do believe that, as far as I know, to obviously nationalise all those industries that you're talking about, you will have to leave Europe first.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.